Hi, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jay.
And you're listening to episode 34 of the Salty Mother Clutchers podcast.
Bam! Rainbows! Rainbows! Sidewalks! Rainbows, flags, rainbow sidewalks,
flags. I think what you're trying to say is it's Pride Month.
Yeah, happy Pride.
Happy Pride.
It's going to be a long month.
You can find our Pride flag flying on our flagpole pretty much any month. Just rotates between some pirate like flag or one of our rainbow flags.
Yeah, I think in a lot of ways, like the rainbow flag is pretty much a pirate flag out in where we live.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, you hoist that thing up and people are like, oh, ahoy.
We got the new flag. That's the progressive one. Is that what it's called?
I guess so.
Is that what it's called?
The progressive pride flag, I guess. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Very fancy.
I actually kind of hate it.
Why?
I'm a designer. It's fucking stupid. There's too much shit going on. There's too many directions. It's a fucking awful flag.
Stop it. There's so many pride-related flags.
I know. And, like, they're probably pissed that, like, each one of their fucking hues didn't make it onto this flag. But, like, let's be honest. Like, the 2SAI LGBTQ++, like, it's getting too long, man. And there's too many colors.
We should say, would it be okay if we say LGBTQ in the podcast instead of trying to say the whole acronym? Like, I don't want to be...
No, we got to do it every time.
I don't want to be offensive to the people that get the letters left out after the LGBTQ.
Yeah.
We're here to represent you.
I mean, we could just record it, like, once, and then I'll just edit it in over top of every time. We just say, like, you know, faggot. It'll just be like, oh, no, LGBTQ+. Like, it'll just be the same stamp of audio over top of each one. You know, because we want to be politically correct and, you know, we don't want to offend anyone on the Salty Mother Clutchers podcast. And why would we do that?
And, like, in case you don't know, we're on the side of the queers. So if any jokes we make, it's just jokes.
All right. So, yeah. Okay, cishets, close your fucking ears. This is not for you.
So where are my queers at? We're talking about, okay, pride, rainbow flags. And we were...
Did you say rainbow tights?
Rainbow flags, rainbow shirts, rainbow merchandise. And we were talking about, like, where is the pride and where are the queers at in the motorcycle community?
Yeah, like, when I think about it, like, I know, like, yeah, there's obviously the pride parade, which is one aspect of...
Yeah.
You know, there's always like a motorcycle or two in the we're in a small town, so like there's a couple bikes, but
we have a pretty small parade, I would say. But
yeah, I think in the larger centers, like, there is like a pretty strong motorcycle presence.
Yeah, sure.
But around here, like, aside from that, I personally have like zero exposure to like the queer motorcycle world. Like, yeah. as a closeted queer for most of my motorcycle life,
yeah.
Like, I've just been kind of like, oh, fuck, like, my entire, like, motorcycle life in, like, rallies and shit like that. So it's always, like, this constant fear because I'm the only one because there's no fucking queers there.
Yeah.
It's just, there's no visibility whatsoever.
Yeah.
In these bigger events and stuff.
And, well, on that topic, really, the only, well... quote unquote visible queer that you're going to find it like in the motorcycle community is your lesbians.
Yeah. Your power dykes,
butch, whatever. And, you can be butch and not a lesbian, FYI. Oh,
for
and
sure.
You can be a lesbian who's not butch. And, but anyway, that's kind of the like winky winky accepted, queer identity in the motorcycle community. I think that'd be the most visibly accepted.
Yeah, and we kind of touched on that in the last show when we kind of went off the rails talking about misogyny and shit like that. So
yeah,
it's definitely the butch ones are like, oh, you're trying to be a man, eh? Well, best of luck, you can hang with the boys if you want. And they're like, fuck yeah, I'll hang with the boys.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know. And that's how lesbians talk, right?
What?
That's how lesbians talk. Fuck yeah, man, I'll hang with the boys.
You tell me, how do they talk?
Yeah, that's how I'll do it.
Yes.
But honestly, fuck the boys.
But yeah, but it was all, but it's about like being super masculine, right? Like,
yeah,
that's the whole thing about like motorcycles and having and being super masculine and thinking like, well, like surely there's like some like flamboyant gay dude who likes to ride motorcycles. Where is he?
Yeah, that's yeah. When
or where are they? Like, where are these people? Yeah.
So when I think about it, like, you know, you're not, motorcycling is not for everyone.
Yes, correct.
But you know, now there's fucking yoga, but like there's enough fucking yogis everywhere. Mm-hmm. And like from like gay, straight, whatever, like this just seems like percentage wise, it doesn't math out. They're like, why, there should be way more like gay, lesbian, trans, non-binary bikers out there.
Yeah.
And it's like, not that you have to wear a fucking rainbow jumpsuit on your rainbow crotch rocket. That's mm-hmm. not what I'm talking about. But like, there's almost like no pride.
Yeah.
In like being in the motorcycle world and like identifying yourself that way, because it's fucking scary.
Yeah, for sure.
So like, you know they're out there.
Yeah, it's like,
but
we,
they're not saying anything.
We talk about rallies. Like, we shit on rallies like often, and we just shit on rallies in the last episode, and we're like, yeah, rallies are for like straight couples, straight men, and like that's it.
Yeah.
And like even if like you bring your wife along. A man brings his wife along and she's got her own bike and she's just basically a butch badass, like, mm-hmm. like kind of seen a bit like dykey, but like, no, this is a straight couple. So it's good.
Yeah.
It's a good straight time. So you just don't see anything other than that.
Yeah. And it's for like a motorcycle world, for it being like, so like, you know, individual, badass, like counterculture.
Yeah.
Like the actual motorcycle world that we live in now is so fucking conservative.
Yes.
They're like, it is like, it's anti-woman, it's anti-gay, it's anti-queer, it's, you know, anti-vegetarian, it's anti-liberal in like every sense of the word, which is fucking ironic, I think.
And the only way to fight that is to have exclusive, like gender exclusive events. So that puts you in this whole other position.
Mm-hmm.
So you have like women only events. I can see why you would do that. Like, as a woman, mm-hmm. I can see why you would like to have an event that's not full of gross, scary, screaming bro dudes.
Yeah.
Like, I can see that. And then I hate when that turns into like the men hating event.
Yeah. And a bunch of screaming bro women.
And a bunch of screaming bro women. So I put a call out like just on our Instagram to see, I knew that we would probably end up talking about this at some point in time. This is the time we decided to do it. Happy Pride.
Happy Pride.
And, go fuck yourself. Back in the winter, I put out like just a quick survey to see like,
because we're honestly curious, right?
We're curious. Like, do we know anybody from the LGBTQ community? like, is there anyone in our circle? Is there anyone who's listening to the podcast who identifies as LGBTQ, and like, what is your experience, and like, how does it impact you, and like, does it make, I don't know, does it make you pick a certain bike? Does it make, and listen, the reason I would ask something like that is because I know that most of the women that I know who ride, they picked mm-hmm. a Sportster. And so I wonder if the queers like a something else.
Yeah.
And
like straight women.
Yeah.
Like the straight Sportster, straight cis woman.
Yeah, or maybe even some trans.
You know, not me being the exception to that rule. Anyway. I'm an exception to many rules.
And then I was thinking like, well, you know, like we, but people just fall into a certain, like, I don't know, place where they're just like, in order for me to fit in as my identity, I must purchase this certain bike. I must get this certain type of hair. I must dress a certain way and blah, blah, blah. And listen to a certain music.
Individuality in a crowd of people.
So I put out this poll and it just got, you know, I got a handful of responses. All majority identified as lesbian. Like pretty much everyone identified as lesbian and pansexual. And that's it. Like, I I don't think I heard from...
I think we're hitting our target demographic pretty fucking hard.
This is great. This is pretty good. And I wanted to know, like, have you felt unsafe as being part of LGBTQ community in the motorcycle community and blah, 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 blah. And it was kind of like, no, it didn't impact my choice of bike. Curiously enough, mm-hmm. most road sport bikes...
I know. Majority. I think like most people said that, like, oh, type of bike didn't matter. But like here they are all riding sport bikes.
And one of them who rides a cruiser came to a cruiser from a sport bike.
Yeah.
It's like started on a sport bike. So I'll just leave that idea out there because that's kind of a curious fact. Everyone said like pretty overwhelmingly like they felt okay and pretty safe in the community. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if that's because we're pretty much talking about women.
I think
we're talking about the lesbians, the butches, the dykes. Yeah,
it's definitely a cis lesbian perspective.
Yeah.
Like, I think that is something because it's seen as like you're trying to be like manly. That like
right.
That you know, that's the way people yeah. see it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So
and actually, some of the responses were like, "I have to put up an act." Like, I have to present, like, as a masculine, like, not too dainty feminine, whatever. And these people could absolutely be very, very feminine.
Yeah.
But they have to put on a shell of masculinity in order to be accepted in the community. So maybe because they've been already in the community for years, they've already mm-hmm. built the shell around themselves.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
they are feeling pretty safe. Like, a lot of air quotes, right? Like, pretty safe. And then also, one of the questions is about, like, how do you feel about gender-exclusive events? And it was like, I feel really fucking good about it because mm-hmm. I want to just hang out with women. I want to hang out with anybody who identifies as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Women also would be okay with gender non-conforming, non-binary, like, mm-hmm. but basically just no cis men.
Yeah.
They already have their events.
Yeah, no cis men.
Like, they don't get a pride.
Yeah, not even gay men. Yeah. Not allowed.
Yeah, it did. Like, it didn't even seem like... It just seemed like men know everything else perfection. Everything else, great times. That's a really interesting point. And I think every response we got was very local. Maritimes local.
Yes, I mean, with a few exceptions, and, like, the people probably know who they are. Like, this, we're very localized.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Podcast.
You know, we're small communities. Even our big cities they're small cities.
Yeah. So I had two kind of thoughts there while you're talking. Like, one is that obviously, like, again, like, I can't state this enough, that, like, that whole notion of, like, trying to, like, you know, catch yourself up with the man and try to present yourself in a man and put that shell on. Like, it's all rooted in misogyny and, you know, the patriarchy and... Pretty much the last episode of the podcast that if you didn't listen to, you'd go listen to that one.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that, like, that's part of why men, cis men, have a easier time accepting the lesbian.
Right.
More so than the homosexual male
or the
trans man or the trans woman or anyone remotely non-binary or gender queer. Like, that's... No. You are genderqueer and you're on a motorcycle.
Like, please call us because we'd love to ride motorbikes with you.
I would love to. That's a challenge in itself.
So taking you back to your huge, just at the top of that tangent you went on, it was like, yeah, so like the cis men have like this totally easy time accepting or an easier time accepting these lesbians mm-hmm. into the community because they're just trying to be one of the guys. They're super masked. This is a place for masculine people that are probably cis.
And who doesn't want to be one of the guys? Guys are the best.
Right.
Guys are the top of the food chain. Mm-hmm. Guys win. Girls lose. Girls are at the bottom. Feminine sucks.
Yep.
Masculine rules. You know, that's why the motorcycle world is like that. It's built around that patriarchy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's like the Dykes on Bikes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very, very well known, like, lesbian motorcycle club. I can't remember when they were started. Sometime in the 70s, probably.
Yeah.
Like, you know, gay liberation, feminism movement. Oh, it's the second wave. I don't know what they call those anymore. But are we in the fifth wave now? I have no idea. So a very well-known club. I think they do, like, accept some, like, transgender women and stuff, but I think that probably depends on the chapter because, you know, there's still some trans misogyny in there also as well.
Right, yeah.
But the bike club, those specific clubs have been around a while. There's also, like, obviously homosexuals.
Oh my
god. That are male.
Wow.
That also ride motorcycles.
Where are they?
So in kind of like talking about this podcast in this episode, I was like, all right, well, like, obviously I don't know any, you know.
I don't, I can't think of any. I honestly can't.
I can think of one cis dude that's pan, I think.
Okay.
That's the best I can do.
Okay.
And I think that's pretty good.
That's great.
But like gay motorcycle clubs have been like around a long time. So like 50s, 60s, the same era that like, you know, a lot of like the big bike clubs were kind of starting, and like, you know, there's just a shit ton of them anyway.
Yeah.
So obviously there's going to be some all gay ones, because homosexuality is definitely not, I'm going to say, not allowed in a lot of motorcycle clubs. It's very homophobic.
Yep.
And that's just as a rule, you know, it's misogynistic and it's homophobic as a rule.
Yeah.
So I had to like do a couple Googlings, cause it's like, I know these clubs exist, but I don't know where they're at. And you know, there are some that are still around. And it was interesting to find out that it was basically, you know, these like hyper masculine gay men that were trying to prove to the world that being homosexual didn't mean that you were effeminate in any way, and like you can be just as masculine as the real men. Mm-hmm. And so they dressed up in like in leather and all the toughest things, and they competed with, you know, the other boys.
Yeah.
So they started their own clubs, like they started their own legit motorcycle clubs, and it gradually turned into, they didn't really have to own a motorcycle to be in the club, but you know, being gay helped.
Yeah.
So I found that to be very interesting. So I found, so when I was looking up the stuff, I found like, it's an article from Life magazine from, I forget the year, it's like 1964 or something like that. And I'm going to try to read this as best I can, because I was just like, whoa. These brawny young men in their leather caps, shirts, jackets, and pants are practicing homosexuals. They are a part of what they call the gay world. Outside the entrance stands a few brightly polished motorcycles, including an occasional lavender model. Inside the bar, the accent is on leather. The walls are... I love the writing of this. The walls are covered with murals of masculine-looking men in black leather jackets. A metal collage of motorcycle parts hangs on the wall. The effort of these homosexuals to appear manly is obsessive. In the rakish angle of the caps.
Wow.
In the thumbs boldly hooked in the belts. The owner of the San Francisco bar, The Toolbox, says, "This is a place for men. A place without all those screaming faggots, fussy sweaters, and sneakers.
Fuzzy sweaters?
Sorry, yeah. Same applies.
It's the same.
Yeah. Fuzzy sweaters and sneakers. Those guys, the ones you see in the other bars, are afraid of us. They're afraid to come here because everything looks tough."
Yeah.
So, I just...
You read that and I was like, yeah, I want to go to that club.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, so those are our people, right?
And then you're like...
I'm like...
Well, no. There's just another type of bro, tough dudes.
Exactly. It's like you have like these like queer clubs and it's like, oh, wait, you're all still trying to out-bro each other? It's like, you know, where are the... I want the faggot club. Like, where are the faggoty faggot clubs? Like, with it, no one wants to hurt anyone. Everyone just wants to ride their bike and have fun and go for French fries after.
You and your French fries. And
I love French fries.
you're such a princess.
I know, right? But I mean, like, I spent a lot of time, like, in that masculine world before where I was, like, super uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I really wish that there was a motorcycle world that existed where, like, I didn't have to put up that same shell that, like, the other lesbians put up to be in a man's world.
Listen, we're all putting up with that fucking awful world. That awful... Yeah. Ugh.
And, like, for a while, I was like, oh, I need to get myself into one of these, like, lady clubs or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, once you see it, it's, like, just more bro.
It's more of the same thing.
It's just more bro.
It's not what I hoped it would be. But, yeah, no, it's the same thing, except it's just a pile of women doing that.
Yeah, so, like, I think, like, I think a lot of straight women, and maybe definitely straight women, and probably a lot of lesbians probably find that connection and with womanhood and motorcycles, and maybe that's why they feel safer as a whole, because they already feel kind of somewhat safe, mm-hmm. because like they already have some acceptance in the male motorcycle world. They're like, when they're alone, like they can open up. But for those people that are like trans women, or like, I'd love to hear from a trans man and get that perspective on this whole thing, because yeah. I would just be so fucking curious to know. But like, I think there's some people that are, you know, that are trans that are going to find a hard time being in either. Not everyone, but some for sure. There's a lot of non-binary trans people, and a lot of non-binary people that there are out there. I'm sure they ride motorcycles.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, where, you know, if we're a society that's having trouble going into one bathroom or the other, like, how do you pick your bike rally? Can you, like, because you have a vagina, do you go to the all women rally, or do you try to fit in at the men's rally? And I say men's rally, not like it's a gender inclusive or exclusive, but
it's just, I think it's just rally. Is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's a men's rally.
Yeah. The default rally is a men's rally. Let's fucking face it.
Yeah.
You know, Where are my non-binaries at?
I don't know.
Where are they?
I was thinking I would like cleverly take us out with a really important quote by Edith Massey in my favorite John Waters film, Female Trouble. The life of a heterosexual is a sick and boring life.
Queers are just better.
You know what fucking sucks?
What fucking sucks?
Pack riding with new riders.
Yeah.
Also, people who have no pack riding experience. So they may not be a new rider, but they have no pack riding experience. And then the only thing worse than that is riding in a pack with a brand new rider who has zero experience with motorcycles, let alone pack riding.
I mean, we've talked about this probably 1,000 times, like, yes. Specifically that, like, yeah, new riders sucks. Suck. New riders sucks.
We love new riders, though. Like, we have a lot of new riders on the podcast.
Sucky
new riders
suck. Pack riding sucks.
Pack riding sucks.
We've definitely talked about it before, but I'm more than happy to fucking
I don't know if we talked about this in the context of, you know what fucking sucks, but no. Because it's very fresh in my mind, because it happened to me recently, just like it happens to me lots of times over the summer. I don't understand why first you put yourself in a position where you actually don't even know where your gears are on your bike. Like, you can't shift, you can barely stop, and you cannot get up to speed. And you will not get up to the speed limit ever in the world. Why are you going in a pack? You know,
yeah.
You know what that does to the pack? Creates more than one pack. And they don't understand.
They don't know. So, like, from the perspective, like, of a new rider, they want to what? They want to
fit in. They want to join the group. They want to be in the cool guys club.
They want to be in the club. They want to be treated just like everyone else as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
So you need to get up to speed as quickly as possible. Yes. That's how you start.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of new riders will assume that I need to ride with other people so I can get more experience riding.
At some point, that is true. Yeah, but if you're...
There's some basic shit you need first.
Clicking through gears because you don't know where you're at, stalling your bike, stopping with no control, you cannot seem to control your bike overall.
Yeah.
You should not be riding with other people because you are like a fucking safety concern to yourself. And nobody else needs you to be a safety concern for them.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be fun. Like, riding in a pack or doing a group ride, it's not fucking babysitter's club.
No.
It's not an educational class. It's not meant to be, you know, a time for you to be apprenticing motorcycle riding.
Exactly.
It's time to go have fucking fun. Like, yes. Go out, have a coffee, have a little tea biscuit, and then fucking hit the road and have some fucking fun.
I don't know what...
It's not a course.
I don't know if you need to, like, check your ego, or I don't know what you need to do, but, like, I highly recommend going and learn how to ride your motorcycle. Mm-hmm. No one expects you to be an expert, but go and learn how to ride your motorcycle when you get your license and get a motorcycle.
Yeah.
And then, you know, after that, if you want to start getting into group like group rides, reach out to like a couple people you trust.
Yeah.
Who can kind of show you the ropes, and don't just show up for these big long group rides that you're going to fuck up. Yeah. You're going to fuck everything.
But yeah. So like group rides, like I'm thinking, you know, 5-6 bikes plus.
Yes.
Something like that. Like if you're out riding with like two other people and like, you're just like chilling and you're stopping wherever, like that's not a group ride. That's just riding.
No,
that's fun.
But if you have no like group ride experience, that's a great place to start.
Yeah.
Start by yourself, then grab a friend, then grab another friend.
Yes.
But like, don't show up for a fucking ride with a group of people if you have absolutely no experience. You do not know what any hand gestures might be if people are going to use them. Like, you've never seen them before. You didn't even know that existed.
No, I'm just going to say, yeah, it fucking sucks. That's why I don't do it.
You need to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. You can follow us on Instagram at SaltyMotherClutchers. You can email us, saltymotherclutchers@gmail.com, if there's something you want us to talk about or you want to like talk some shit about something. Sure.
And more importantly, you can go onto our website and you can find a link to the podcast from there. You can also find a handy link to buy some fucking merchandise.
Yes, yes, yes.
Or you can just give us some free money by buying us a coffee.
Yeah, buy us a coffee. We just had like one of our good buddies, Mike Slavin, buy us a coffee just the other day, and that pays for making this podcast be a real thing.
And another little reminder that we had Paterka from the Moto Meetup on the episode a couple episodes ago.
It's in the 30s.
Yeah, it's in the 30s. It was a bit ago. We talked about Satanism. We had a good long chat with Paterka. You should really go listen to it. But she was gracious enough to give all of our listeners a promo code for the Moto Meetup store.
On Etsy.
The code is Salty. And you can find the Moto Meetup on Instagram. It's probably the easiest way to get a hold of them.
It's a motorcycle podcast with...
with Dee Dee King. Everyone knows it's Rainbow Sidewalk season, right?
Yes.
Motorcycle, course. Sidewalks, get it? That's the podcast.
The fuck?
The accent is on leather.
Yes. Ba-dum-bum-tsh.
Is that good? Is that even correct?
Is that
iHeartRadio?
iHeartRadio is where y'all are listening now?
Can you, if you can rate on iHeartRadio, go rate the podcast, I think.
Okay, I don't think you can actually do it on Spotify.
I don't think you can.
Okay. Let's do it again. Over. I'll save that for another one. I almost gave away another really good one I got to make a note of.
Okay. Yeah, whichever side of the hexagon is the queer side. That's it's all sides but one.
We're on the queer side.
Yeah. Yeah, and I might not buy a coffee. I might buy some gin.
Paterka Berserka. Presenting a motorcycle podcast with...
Rainbow Gillespie.
And Princess Adams.
Brutal.
Whatever, heart socks.